Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we once again bring ourselves before you. We ask you to speak to our hearts through the clear instruction of your holy book, the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Introduction a little bit different this morning, but I think eventually, I hope eventually, you will see where I'm going with it. The parable of Squeak Yates and the big long sword fighting weed. Or maybe it was a flower. Part 1, the challenge of Squeak's Law. Thou shalt not whack the squeakster with your big long green sword fighting weed. Part 2, my passing pleasure with sin. Rising to the challenge, running like the wind, and finding the safety of home. Part 3, my near-death experience. Your sins will find you out, or mercy in the face of death. Part 1, the challenge of Squeak's Law. Now, I never on my own would have gone up to Squeak Yates and whacked him over the back with my big, long, green sword-fighting weed. I say it was a weed, but as I think about it, it might have been a flower. But I just wouldn't have done such a thing. I liked Squeak. He was really a pretty decent kid overall. And even if I didn't like Squeak, he was one of the biggest, toughest, meanest, orneriest kids in town. So here's what happened. Me and several of the other kids in our little town one summer in the late afternoon were having a great time sword fighting with these big, long weed flower things. Just minding our own business. Nobody mad or upset. Just kids having fun. Then Squeak showed up. Just boiling for a fight, I guess. He pushed his way into the middle of us sword fighters. Glaring and scowling, he threw down his challenge. I dare any of you little punks to whack me with your big old green sword fighting weed. Part 2, my passing pleasure with sin. And then I don't know what came over me. The nerve of old Squeak, interrupting our fun, trying to scare the daylights out of us, picking on us, just meanness for no reason. So I whacked him. Yes, I did. I drew back and let him have it. And then I ran like my life depended on it, because it probably did. It took him a second to get over the shock of one of these little punks whacking him, but it didn't matter. I was too fast that day. I ran like the wind, past the Dringus's house, around their plum tree, and down the alley to my backyard. And there, a sight to behold, my dear dad working in the yard. So I pulled back the jets, cruised right in. Yes, victory was mine. Part 3, my near-death experience. Your sins will find you out. Now I had a real problem, though. After the initial exultation of my victory over the bully, I realized that long-term this may not work out so well. I was probably in trouble deep. It was not a matter of if, but when Squeak would get me. Well, when came one day as I was at the candy counter in my uncle's gas station. I should have realized something was wrong from the look on my cousin Buddy's face, who was working behind the counter. You know how that is. It just didn't click. I was oblivious to the danger until I felt Squeak's arms slide around my neck like a noose. Now I would pay. But Squeak didn't kill me. He didn't even beat me up, amazingly. But he warned me, if that ever happened again, there would be a price to pay. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7, verse 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. Now, the translation I'm going to read first out of is a little bit different, but I think you'll follow me. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. I'm going to read the verses 7 and 8, okay? Romans chapter 7, verse 7. Okay. What shall we say then? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known how good it would feel to whack Squeak with my big, long sword-fighting weed if the law hadn't said, thou shalt not whack Squeak with the big, long sword-fighting weed. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment of the squeakster, produced in me all kinds of desire to whack him. For apart from the law, the desire to whack Squeak was lying dead. Is the law good? See, Paul's wanting to make sure that we don't have the wrong impression. And he says, what shall we say then, that the law is sin? By no means. He said, by no means. Because he's talked about the negative, the adverse effect of this conflict with the law. But what Paul is saying, he is saying that it is our sin, the way our sin interacts with God's pure commandment. Now, this passage is a difficult passage. There's all kind. If you read the theologians and the commentaries, and let me just give you a little example of commentaries that I consult, men that I consult regularly. And this isn't even counting the article here and there. Robert Gundry, Francis Schaeffer, John MacArthur, C.E.B. Cranfield, Leon Morris, Douglas Moo, John Murray, William Hendrickson, Everett Harrison, Warren Wiersbe, F.F. Bruce, Alva McLean, Alan Johnson, and none of them agree with each other on everything in Romans, period, let alone Romans 7. And just wait till we get to Romans 9 and 10. Because some of the issues are, well, is this really Paul? Is this really Paul speaking? I mean, could the Apostle Paul really? The Apostle Paul, wasn't he almost perfect? Could he really struggle with sin like this? Or was Paul just speaking and he was representative? Or it was just representative of a young man in the Jewish nation? And all of these different things. Now, I'm not saying that they're not important. But I'm saying if we started getting into depth on all of those, I'd probably put most of you to sleep. So what I've decided to do, we're going to look at the main points. Okay, and you've got those on your outline. The law is good, really good, even holy. Sin is bad, really bad, even deadly. We struggle in the middle of who we are, who we were and who we are, and Jesus Christ is our only deliverer. Now, I want you to take a look at your study sheet. Just for a second, on the inside, we're not going to read all of those, but I want you to see this positive direction of our hearts is to be to the law. Now, the law can be, speaking of only the law, the writings of Moses, the law can be include the complete Old Testament. The law can even be broadened out to the commandments and that the Jews had added to that. But even in the broadest extent, the law, as in little l, and the teaching from the words from God is the entire scripture. And what is our reaction to be to the law of God? I love the law. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. Great peace have those who love your law. Your law is my delight. Your law is true. The law of the Lord is perfect. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And we're to live by the law. Now, we're going to get into this a little bit because we're going to say, well, no, now doesn't that conflict that we can't get righteousness by the law? Well, there's a difference between living by the law and thinking that if I obey 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then I'm guaranteed eternal life. There's a big difference. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But for just right now, these verses, you have seen for yourself. This, you know, I brought this in my study, and I thought you would want to hear this. This is so good. I mean, we know it, but just seeing it in Scripture like that. The first one in the middle, live by the law of God, Exodus 20, 22. The Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the people of Israel, you have seen for yourselves that I have talked with you from heaven. That's what God does, isn't it? God talked with us, and then he had men write it down for us. Holy book of God, the Bible, Scripture. And it goes on, there are different things, to live by every word of God, to be careful to do the words of the law, etc. Okay, so love the law of God. Live by the law of God. This instruction is good, even Old Testament. I say even, I shouldn't say Old Testament. I say let's make sure we include Old Testament. It's different. We're in a different covenant now. It doesn't apply like the New Testament does to us. but it's still good and pure and should be a delight to us, but not salvation by the law, not by works of the law, not by works of righteousness are we saved. So let's go back then. Point one, the law is good, really good, even holy. The law, why is the law so good? The law reveals our sinfulness. See, that's a good thing. The law reveals our sinfulness. What shall we say then, that the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would have not have known sin. Sin to the extent that he did. For I would have not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Now back to the parable of Squeak and the big long green sword fighting weed. He set down a law. Thou shalt not whack the squeakster. I hadn't thought about whacking. I wasn't crazy. He was tough. I mean, we were kind of tough little country kids, but he was up tough to the next level and mean to the next level. But when I heard that law came and it challenged something in me. So I whacked him. It hadn't occurred to me, though, until he brought the law out. This is what the law does for us. There's things that the sin in our lives that's lying dormant. The law is good. Now, we're going to see that develop, because one of the things that we can struggle with, especially as religious people, we can struggle with self-righteousness. We can say, well, the sin's bad. Oh, and in some people, it's really bad. I mean, look around at our world. But you know what we don't see sometimes if we're not letting the Word of God have its effect in our lives? It's really bad here too, folks. You know what that drives us to? That drives us to humility. See, checking off rule one, rule two, rule three, yeah, I've got those down. Well, let's don't worry about rule four. Let's go on to five, six, and seven. I've got those down. The rich young ruler, how can I inherit eternal life? I don't know, do I have those references for you? No, I don't. Let me give you at least one of them so you can look at this later. Matthew 19, 16 to 22. Can I have eternal life? How do I have eternal life? Well, what's the law say? Well, love the Lord your God, heart, soul, and mind. The different laws that they recited. And he said, all those I've done from my youth. Jesus said, well, one thing that you lack. He said, now go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. See, if that young man had been following the law, like living by it, not living by it so I will gain salvation, but living by it so I will draw close to God, then he would have been at a place of humility to take the next step in his pilgrimage with God. And that's where it comes to us. No one could obey the law perfectly and gain salvation. We can't do that. But the law is so good because it will humble us. And you look at in Deuteronomy 30, you can write this down. I don't know if we'll turn here, but write this down, 30 verses 15 to 20. You're familiar with that because it's written there, Moses, I set before you life and death, God speaking through Moses. And they're saying, choose life. And how do they do that? Loving the Lord, obeying his command, walking in his way. And someone will protest and they'll say, well, that offer to choose life, to live by the law, that's not valid because no one can do that perfectly. That's not what that's talking about. What was included in the law that Moses was talking about here? Starts with an S, a sacrificial system. What does a sacrificial system take care of? That starts with an S too. Somebody help me out. Sin. See, the law's still doing the same thing and bringing our attention to our sin. And now in the new covenant, we have 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. We don't have to kill a goat. Well, I'm so glad we don't have to kill a goat. For one thing, it'd probably bother me killing those animals. But, you know, but we have Jesus, our high priest, now. But what the Bible does, it humbles us. Now, if we want to, sometimes we'll I'm going to follow the law, but we think we're following a law. We're self-righteous. We're deceived in our religion because we've narrowed it down to things that we think we have. Okay, I've got this one. I've got this one. I'm doing pretty good. Well, we're in trouble when we think we're doing pretty good. See, I do believe this is the Apostle Paul here. And there's no person more transparent other than probably Job in the whole Bible of, boy, having their spiritual guts just poured out in front of everybody and shown. Here I am, world. You know, Paul talks about his fear and trembling and all the anxiety that he goes through. And here he's showing us. You know, I had a Moody professor one time. And Dr. Goddard, and he was really a good guy. And he knew way more about the Bible than I did. So this isn't a reflection on him like that. But he had the Apostle Paul held so highly in such esteem that he was talking about that when, remember Paul and Barnabas, they had a dispute. It was a dispute over Mark, wasn't it? I believe. Yeah, I see a head nod. Thank you. Either I feel good about that or we're both wrong. But and he was talking about something about, well, you know, what, you know, Barnabas being in the wrong. And I'm like, what do you mean? Couldn't Paul have been partly to blame? It's like, oh my goodness, we're talking the apostle. No, Paul couldn't have been to blame. It's the Apostle Paul. What are you thinking, dumb little student? Now, Dr. Goddard did not answer me like that. He was a very gracious. He was a good man. Carrie had him for a class or two. A good man. You remember Dr. Goddard. He didn't answer me like that. But it was something he had just assumed. Sometimes we do that. The Apostle Paul's showing, he's showing us the real battle. The law is good, even holy. It reveals holiness, exposes our false perceptions of life. Verses 9 to 12. It says, I once was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death for me, for sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So here's this verse, next verse. So the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. What have we been looking at? What, you know, grace and the law and sin, and put this to death, and put that to death, and bring this to life. And we see, because we've seen, and some people struggle with, well, you know, this person's just claiming grace, and they're living life their own way, and they're justifying their sin. Well, that's not God's grace, because we have seen that God's grace leads to righteousness and leads to life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what the law does. It's what the law does. Working with the law comes, we see where we fall short. Grace comes in. So if you could turn over to verse 20 of chapter 5. On my Bible, it's just across the page. I don't know, you might have to flip one. Romans 5, verse 20. We've already been over this, but this is a really good refresher. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, what happened? Grace happened. That's exactly right. Grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God's got an amazing, powerful, wonderful plan. The law exposes our religion. Paul writes here, once I was alive. Well, that's the oblivious religious person. Once I was alive, well, I didn't realize. You know who that person is? If Matthew 9, I think I'll turn here. Matthew 9, verse 10. And at that point, Paul didn't need a doctor. At that point, Paul was righteous. I was free. Because the law had not roused the sin in him that showed him his sin and showed him how lost he was and how desperately he needed the righteousness of God, that the righteousness that he thought he was putting his hands on was not righteousness at all, but his own morality and his own self-righteousness. In Matthew 9, and I'm going to go to verse 12 actually, but when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. See, if we're caught in our own form of morality, if we're caught in our self-righteousness, if we're caught, you've heard the word religiosity, and that, I don't need a doctor, but boy, those poor people over here, boy, are they really bad. And oh man, sin, and then we haven't seen it yet here. We don't realize that we need the doctor. We need the great physician. We need the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, verse 13, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I came not to call the righteous but sinners. What's he mean by that? You can't hear me. If you think you're righteous, you couldn't hear Jesus. if that holy commandment, that righteous teaching of God had not humbled you, you couldn't hear Jesus. I mean, you heard him, but you probably just got mad and would, in part of the crowd, crucify him because you couldn't hear his message of forgiveness, his message of eternal life. The law exposes our religion. The law leads to life. And we've looked at that. There's a process: law, humility, God, life. See, the rich young ruler, he came with the commandments, but the process there would have humbled him. He would have been ready for the next step. And he got sad and turned away, and Jesus was sad for him. I believe it says Jesus loved him. The law, the writings of Moses, leads to Christ. Now, just turn to this one too, John chapter 5. John 5, verse 39. John 5, 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Down to verse 45. Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. See, they'd tell Jesus, who do you think you are? We hold to Moses. We hold to the Scriptures. It was a superficial reverence for the Scriptures. They didn't really. Jesus told them, if you really held to the Scriptures, if you really believed Moses, verse 46, for if you believed Moses, what? You would believe me, for he wrote of me. You see those Old Testament scriptures? And they were holding to that, and they were keeping Christ at arm's length. Oh, Moses, the law, Moses, the law. Well, the law wasn't humbling. They weren't listening to what they said they believed because they didn't really reverence it. They had so many things layered on top of that, and the things of their religion were so much more important. The law is good, really good, even holy. Sin is bad, really bad, even deadly. Verses 13 to 16. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin. Hang on to that one. And through the commandment, the law, the written instruction of God, might become sinful beyond measure. See, this is, now you're ready. Now you're ready to trust Christ. Now you're ready, if you've already trusted Christ, to listen carefully to his holy words of instruction. Because now you're humbled. Because now you see the sin in our life is seen to be sin. And see, we can have that problem in church. We can, the sin in our lives, boy, your neighbor can see it, and some of the church folk can see it, but we can't see it. The sin in our lives is sin. We can see that other person's sin, but we can't see our sin. And even if we have a sin, it's not really that bad. I don't even know if I'd call it a sin. You know what I mean? Maybe it's a white sin. You know, it's really not. No, sin is really sin. See, and what happens is, it's like we're afraid to see the darkness inside. You know what that shows us? We don't understand what Jesus Christ has done for us. We don't understand the power of the cross of Calvary. Folks, it doesn't matter how dark and deep and how embedded it is. Jesus paid it all. Doesn't matter if it's that thought that you would not dare to tell anybody else in the whole world. God knows it. God will forgive it. We can't hold on to our own morality and our own righteousness. There's no life in that. Life is in coming clean before the Savior. Sin is bad, really bad, even deadly, even in our lives. It produces death and slavery in us. You can write these cross references down. We won't go to them. Chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Chapter 8, verse 15. And sin feeds our spiritual confusion. Verses 15, well, here, let me go ahead and read verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. Paul said, I know, it's got me. I know, I want to do that. Let me give you one. It's a little bit silly, but it's not entirely silly, and I think you might identify with it a little bit. Now, some of you have heard me say that I don't drink pop much anymore because that was an easy way for me to eliminate sugar. I also don't drink sugar in my tea anymore. But you know what'll happen? I can in an evening, or maybe even earlier in the day, and I'll be talking to someone and I say, yeah, I'm staying away from the Pepsis because, you know, I don't know how many teaspoons of sugar in Pepsi, but it's probably plenty. I don't know how many times right after I have that thought, you know what sounds really good? Yeah. Oh, fizzy, bubbly, you know, when you're pouring it, you know, oh, man, those things that we hadn't thought of before, but it's there. And we still have interaction. You know, we have in our progression of salvation, we have justification. That's when we're in. Jesus paid it all. We're his. We're locked in, baby, forever. And sanctification, God's bringing us along. And God's doing that, and he allows us to have a part in that in submitting our will. And then glorification, we see Jesus Christ. We're perfect. We've talked about this before, but you would not recognize yourself in the mirror when our glorification. It'll be beyond our comprehension, beyond any category of our mind. This work that God's saying, my final product of you, my blessing to you, my gift to you, here is you, my final new creation. I am going to be so good looking then. Won't need that cane anymore. But right now, folks, we've got a fight. We've got a fight on our hands. We want to remember, though, we had the battle rages. But the war's won. If you've trusted in Christ, if you've received him as Savior and Lord, believed in him, and received his gift of eternal life, you won. You won. There'll be battles, but you've won. Don't forget that when you're knocked down and the enemy's putting his foot on your throat. That's okay, but I won. You might have won this one. And I'm not saying it's okay to sin. I'm not saying that. You guys know that. But we will sin, and we go to God for forgiveness. And part of the motivation that helps us, we're not going to lay there, and we're not going to lay there in our bitterness or pettiness or feeling sorry for ourselves. It's like, I'm going to believe you, Lord. And even though I really blew it this time, you say you forgive. You're the faithful one. You're the just one. Sin is bad, really bad, even deadly. And that's in us. We struggle in the middle of who we were and who we are. Verses 17 to 23. Now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. For if I do what I do not want, you should read this real fast, 6 times. It is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my neighbors. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, that's the punchline. Enemy can kick our rear end. But we won. But we won. And we just get back up every time. We get back up out of that pile every time because God will raise us up because we come to him. We get his forgiveness. His Holy Spirit is living in me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And so we keep going. And so we keep going. We don't lick our wounds. We struggle. Again, it's not good to sin. I'm not saying it's good to sin, but we will. And some of those, you know, we will win some of the battles too. But how do we win even those battles? How do we win even those battles? Jesus. The only way. Only truth. Only life. Only deliverer. Only rock. Only high tower, only place of refuge, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Preview for next week, because chapter 8, verse 1. Those divisions weren't there. This would flow right into this. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's where we pick up next week. If you're in Christ Jesus, you've believed in him. You've by grace through faith, you've received his gift of life. Know this, and I can remember when this hit me. Well, I remember remembering and reading through, and I was at Moody, and I kind of knew it before, but really when the impact, Dave, no condemnation. After you trust in Christ, it doesn't matter if you lost that particular battle, you've won the war in Christ, there is no condemnation. God never looks at you like that again. God's wrath is never turned to you again. He may discipline us, but his wrath is never turned. Jesus took that wrath. We looked at that too, didn't we? Praise God for his holy word and for his salvation. Wretched man that I am, wretched woman that I am, praise be, thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I can't stand here and cry, but I could. Joyfully, with a heart brimming with thankfulness for your salvation that you've brought through Jesus Christ. His death on the cross and burial and resurrection, the most powerful event that this earth has ever seen. God coming to earth and making a way for sinners who need a Savior. Father, speak to each of us today. I don't know where we all are. We're right there with you. We're bowing before you. We're humbled before your word. Or maybe we're caught up in our religion and we're hanging on to that instead of hanging on to you and your word of truth. Or maybe we're neither of those and we're completely on the outside, still in the darkness. Still out there not recognizing that there's a God of holiness and love who wants to bring us to himself and reconcile us and save us from our sin. Lord, each of us, wherever we are, I pray that you would work that work in our hearts. Thank you, Mighty One. Pray you continue to bless through the day. In Christ's name, amen.